I speak to you in the name of one God who creates us, redeems us, and sustains us. Amen. Is this not like the best gospel ever for having all the kids back in church for blessing of the backpacks? I mean, it's great, right? Hate everybody, follow Jesus. All right, we're good. We can go home now, right? So I do want to talk a little bit about the gospel. And last week, I preached on Hebrews and the importance that Hebrews was teaching us about being in relationship with one another, being a Christian community that is knit together by God's love, caring for one another, supporting one another, praying for one another. And this week, I want to turn to the gospel and weave that in a little bit to what we talked about last week. So, a few reminders where we are in the Gospel of Luke, where we have been all summer in the Gospel of Luke, is Jesus has set his face towards Jerusalem and is continuing to teach and heal and teach some more as he heads to Jerusalem. He knows what will happen in Jerusalem. So all of this is within the context of Jesus understanding that the cross will be at the center of who he is. So today we have Jesus. Oh, and I want to go back to last week's gospel that I did not preach on. Everybody remembers last week's gospel, right? Yep, sure, thought so, absolutely. Wedding banquet. Don't go take the fancy seat because you might get demoted down. And by the way, don't just be inviting all the people you want to invite. You know, you need to invite those who need to be invited, those who need food, those who need clothing, those who need shelter. Jesus was talking about taking care of others. So within that context, we get to this week. Wow, really great start, Jesus. And I think that when we get to these gospels, we want to skip over them because it's not lovey-dovey Jesus. We all like Jesus of love and care, Jesus who binds up the brokenhearted, Jesus who heals the person who has never been able to be healed, Jesus who walks with us in those hard moments. And when Jesus tells us, by the way, there is a cost to this, then we're like, yeah, now can we get back to the other Jesus, please? Right? I'm not a parent, but I watch my friends go through it. There are those times when you got to be like, no, this is the boundary. Right? I love you, and here's what it means to be in the family. I remember my parents having that conversation with me when I was 10, and I was like, well, I don't know about that. Do I have options? No, you don't have options. So in our baptism, let me be clear, now you really don't have options, because what we have opted for is to follow Jesus and to follow God, and Jesus today is talking about the cost of discipleship. And it's not always easy. And it's not always fun and loving, but it does, in the end, bear fruit. So there are three interpretations that get bantered around about today's, you have to hate everybody. And hate, I don't know, at least in my day when I was a teacher, we weren't allowed to use the word hate, right up there with S-T-U-P-I-D. We don't use that word either. Hate was right up there with that bad word. And here's Jesus just rolling out with it today. He might as well have told everybody to, we don't say that one either. All right, oh, jarring. But three ways to look at this. One of this is literal. There are those who can make a case. Jesus was saying, in this day and age and in the time that Luke was writing, you really do have to leave everything behind to follow Jesus. You have to leave what is most dear to you, which would be your family, and leave them behind to follow Jesus. So there's the literal. Second is hyperbole, which for those of you who have not been in school and don't remember hyperbole, hyperbole is the great overblown one. I'm gonna make a really big example to make a very direct point. So Jesus is saying, you have to leave all of this behind because it's gonna cost you this much. so that you understand the magnitude of the decision that you are making. It's not really going to cost you this much. But to think about it that way. And the third is, my favorite, when you get into the Greek, and the word for hate actually can be interpreted to love something less. And I admit, because I like nice Jesus, that's the one that I've gone with. You need to love your, and I don't have it in front of me, your mother and your brother and your sisters and your family less than you love God. And I can get behind that. That goes with the message of Jesus I see throughout all of the Gospels, not just the Gospel of Luke. But then what does that mean for us to love God more? What does, that's great to say, well, I love God more than I love my husband. Okay, well, great. But what is, okay, you can say anything, right? But what does that mean for us? And so I would invite you this week, you know, I always like to give you a little faith homework, right? I invite you this week to think about, where is it that you prioritize God in your life? And this is not about shaming you. Oh, you did not start your day with morning prayer or forward day by day and end it with evening prayer, and you didn't say compline together as a family, and you didn't bless your meals. I'm not tight. No, that's not it. But I am asking you to do maybe a little God audit. Where does God come in your priorities of having to get all of the stuff done? Where does God come in your daily life? Where do you find God? Where do you seek God? Where do you see God? Do you see God when God is before you? Where is it that we see God in our finances? Where do we prioritize God? And I'm not talking about tithing and giving to the church, although I am all in favor of that. And that should be part of your discussion with God. But what do we do with the gifts that we have been given? And how do we follow the gospel with those gifts that we have been given? And not so that we can get the best place at the table, but so that we can make sure everybody gets to the table. Now, last week, if you were not here, I hit the trifecta. I got sex and politics and money all into one sermon. It was really great. But I will bring up the politics again. I'm not taking a side. Jesus was political. He was not partisan. How does faith play into your politics? How does your faith play into what you believe to be true? And I'm not telling you one side of the aisle or the other. That is not it. But God should be a part of your determining what is moral and ethical in your life. And if you are not doing that, then we are not prioritizing God. How, and this is for all the kids out there, how are we loving God all of our heart and with all of our soul, and how are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? And as we come back to church and go back in the classrooms, we have an opportunity to re-engage who is our neighbor. The kid who doesn't have a friend, us trying to find our own friends, the staff member who always has to do lunch duty, the teachers who are spending out of their own pockets so that the classrooms are engaging for your children. But to think about who is your neighbor, and not just who is your neighbor, but who is your neighbor that you need to share the light and the love of Jesus Christ with. That's what Jesus is calling us to think about today. So I am going to invite you this week to do a God audit. And just think about how you prioritize. And we do not get it right all the time. I certainly don't get it right all the time. And I have to call myself back into account. And I think that we all do. And that's just the nature of faith. But Jesus' stern words to us today are so that we can stop, take a moment, and look into our lives and have a discussion with God about where God is and where we want God to be and how are we going to get there. And for this, we give thanks that we have a loving Jesus who walks with us on that journey. Amen.